Back in the day, say 1993, there was an indie band from D.C. called The Dismemberment Plan. As the decade progressed, so did they, selling out shows, putting out CDs, touring the world with Pearl Jam. By the year 2000, they had quit their day jobs. It's not that they were making a ton of money, but because they were on tour so often, the band had a less than huge but very dedicated following. In September 2003, The Dismemberment Plan broke up. The band members drifted back into the workaday world. Drummer Joe Easley became an engineer at NASA working on robotics. Bassist Eric Axelson works with Rock the Vote's high school civics program. Singer Travis Morrison has a job at the Huffington Post. And guitarist Jason Cadell does freelance audio work. But civilian life, it appears, was too tame for these guys. The Dismemberment Plan reunited, is heading back on the road, and has just reissued its most popular album called Emergency and I.
Well, now I notice the street lamps, the ghosts of graffiti, they couldn't quite erase the blank face stares on the subway as people go home. The parks lay empty like my unmade bed. Saw silent like a lifeless telephone. And this is where I live, but I've never felt less at home.
That's The City from The Dismemberment Plan's newly remastered recording from 1999, Emergency and I. Two of the band members are in our D.C. studio. First, singer Travis Morrison, welcome to the program.
Hello.
And guitarist Jason Cadell, thank you for coming in.
Oh, of course.
Now, I didn't know about your band and your music before I heard about your reunion, so I listened to this new version of Emergency and I, and I really had some head-banging fun with it.
Be careful when you do that.
I do, especially when I'm driving. Why did you decide to get back together? Let me start with Travis.
Well, we re-released Emergency and I on vinyl, and we wanted people to know about it, and we still like each other, and we still like the songs, and we still like to play music.
And you have already sold out shows in D.C., Philly, Boston, and New York. Travis, did you expect that kind of welcome back?
No. No, I'm always convinced that there'll be 15 people. I don't think we ever sold out a show ahead of time when we were a band from the start to the finish until the very last show in Washington.
Yeah, and I would bet that your fans who are attending these shows will insist you play some of your popular blasts from the past. We want to hear one now. This is a tune called What Do You Want Me to Say?
I lost my membership card to the human race, so don't forget the face, 'cause I know that I do belong. Go down the checklist, let's see if feelings are good. Dishonesty is bad, keeping inside is worse still.
Jason, what are your thoughts on revisiting these songs as a guitarist?
It's amazing to me, the kind of the size of the universe between just walking back in the room after 7 years off and where we were when we stopped. There are 1,000 little details that you don't ever notice about your playing and about your communication until you've been away from them for a long time. And so to hear us play now, and, you know, we've been using the record sometimes as a reference, compared to then, it is a pretty astounding difference. But I do feel like my priorities as a musician are so much different than they were then.
Sure. I want to go back to the fact that you are releasing this on vinyl. Is it because of the sound that you get on the record, or is it just a nostalgia? Because it seems to go both ways with vinyl that's being released now.
Records do sound different than CDs, but frankly, I don't think any of us are like sitting at home in our cardigans with our pipes in front of the hi-fi, you know, yeah, kind of deal. And I think, you know, there's so much about vinyl records that's more than just the fact that it happens to be an analog sine wave as opposed to a bunch of bits in a row. I mean, it's much bigger art. We could mm-hmm. do some really wonderful things with the packaging. Mm-hmm. And there is, you know, there is that echo, that sort of nostalgic, this is what music used to be, that I think is emotionally resonant with some people.
It's a storage medium that has a potential to be beautiful in mm-hmm. a way that the CD does not.
Mm. Yeah.
After years of these jewel cases, you're pushing on these little plastic things in the middle with your thumb to make it to pop out.
That's if you can get the jewel case open.
If you can get the jewel case open, and you might crack the CD, and it's a hard, shiny, plastic, unpleasant, unhappy little medium.
How about the tune Back and Forth? I mean, the lyrics begin, there's a kind of music that reminds me of you. It's all clear, expensive drinks and shiny shirts and the click of heels as they descend from the taxi like the first foot on the moon. Oh, and it glows with ache, and if it hits me right, it's almost too much to take. I mean, that is some imagery. It's kind of, there's a Sex in the City moment there where, you know, a woman's getting out of the
clearly couch. The intent.
let's hear some more of the tune.
There's a kind of music that reminds me of you. It's all cool, expensive drinks and shiny shirts and the quick of heels. Is that a set from the taxi like the first one on the moon? Oh, and it glows with ache. And it's me right all. It's almost too much to take.
I'm speaking with two members of the band, The Dismemberment Plan. They have reunited, singer Travis Morrison and guitarist Jason Cadell. Again, you've got that driving beat, that rolling beat behind it, and the guitar and the lyrics, obviously, almost too much to take in on a first hearing. There are so many moving parts in your music. You know, you do the punk stuff, you do kind of the hip-hop stuff, the rock, the R&B. How, in theory, does a song get from notes on a napkin to a full-blown performance?
It's a miracle. It's a miracle. I mean, I think just raw effort. I mean, the story of Back and Forth is, from my angle, is pretty great, which is that the verses are just based on It's Alright, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding by Dylan. Their structure is completely the same. Yeah,
what?
Not the maybe emotional intent, but the chorus, I was walking to work and I started singing it to myself, and it was almost like I had like this feeling of a song. But I didn't know how it sounded. I didn't know what it was. But I was kind of singing like, somebody scream, all right. And then I went to work. Then we had rehearsal that day. And I walked in, and Eric and Joe were playing the groove. I walked in, and it was almost like walking into a space where they had been playing it for all eternity. It was just boom, 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 boom. And I was like, that's the song I was writing. So as a lyricist, I might have a concept, and I might have even mocked something up at home that I stubbornly thought was how the song was supposed to go. But all that would go out the window when we would all get together and there would be collective creation happening.
Yeah.
And then you would just look for juxtapositions between those concepts and between the raw interaction that was going on between the musicians.
I mean, it's still exactly the same. Like, the four of us get in a room together and, like, we still are four nerds that love music and love to sort of bounce it off each other.
I got it in the mail one morning. There was no return address. Just my name in gold leaf on the front.
Your tune, You Are Invited, tells the tale of an anonymous invitation that comes in the mail. Was this for all the kids out there who never fit in, never got invited anywhere, and was that both of you?
You get older, and I think you get more comfortable in your place in the world. I think when you're 24, you're kind of auto-yearning, or you feel auto-left out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, fully.
Like, it's just in you, and then you get older, and you get incredibly nostalgic for that time you have your place in the world. So it's just, you can't win.
Why did you guys break up in 2003? I mean, you were on, it seems, the cusp of hitting
We weren't.
What do you mean you weren't?
Everybody says that. There's absolutely positively no way to tell what would have happened if we had been at it for a while longer. But the truth of the matter is we had been doing it for 10 years, and it's a lot of work.
I remember being so tired.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was like, I'll tell you what, I don't think we were on the cusp. I think we were on the cusp of being a club lifer band. And sometimes the last 7 years, I would look at peers who were kind of maintaining, and I would feel some pining for it. I would feel some pangs of, like, the road not taken. But now I feel like I took my medicine in terms of life. And now this is just incredibly fun.
When you returned to a working life, you don't work for people who give you standing ovations every time you've done something well. Was that a hard adjustment to make?
Actually, I'll tell you what. I've never had coworkers that rode me as hard as my bandmates. Everything I've had to deal with in business, and I'm in computer programming for advertising, which is like hectic and insane, and that client's freaking out. I hear that 17 times a day. I'm like, you know what? I was in a van driving 25 hours overnight to get from Seattle to Fargo to open up for Veruca Salt. So you can't tell me nothing.
And I'll tell you what, the thing about it for me is like, by the time that 2003 rolled around, I think what I personally needed very much was a kind of a direct feedback loop of accomplishment, because there's a far distance between standing on stage and reading record reviews and having people buy your music. There's a big difference between that and directly knowing that you've done a good job and you've achieved something and, you know, your bank account is starting to get out of the emergency zone. Those things are hugely important. And it's extraordinarily ironic, because people that have never done it think, oh, you must feel so fulfilled and so lauded. And on the one hand, I do very much feel like we've, and not to get crazy about it, but we've done good things in the world, the four of us. And I think we have that as an achievement. Now it's time to do the next thing.
Jason Cadell and Travis Morrison of the newly reconstituted band, The Dismemberment Plan, their reissued record, yes, vinyl record, is called Emergency, and I thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Spider in the Snow from The Dismemberment Plan's album, Emergency, and I. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.